So we're talking about destiny, and I love the idea of destiny. I know what it makes you feel like when you hear destiny and you're thinking like a movie sequence, or you're thinking about something like really cool in the future, or you're thinking about something you're going to do or something you were made to do. And I want to think about all of those things, but I want to see it from a biblical standpoint, and I really want us to grab the heart of God today. And what does he mean by destiny? And so I want to go to a really famous verse and read a few extra verses connected to it, and it's Jeremiah 29:11. This is one that I know so many Christians love. But I really want us to dig into it today, and I thought it really would speak to destiny. So here we go. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." I'm like, what an incredible set of words connected to destiny. God is for us. He is not against us. He has got incredible things in store for us. And then verse 12, it says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you from captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." So this is an incredible set of verses connected to a big story about the children of Israel, the Jews of the day, and they're in exile, and God is speaking to them. Now, what we've got to realize what's going on at this moment is that they have not lived good, they have not made good choices, they have not made good decisions, but God is still speaking destiny into their lives. And I want to speak this into your heart today, and I know that we're not thousands of years ago as they were back in the book of Jeremiah, but we're here in 2021, and we still need words of hope, and we've all made wrong decisions, and we've all made wrong choices, and those choices and those decisions have consequences. But here's the good news of God, and this is the principle that we can take from today's reading, is that God still has good things in store for us. I am so glad that we serve a God like this, who loves us, who's always for us. You see, when I think about this story and I think about the words that we've just read, I think about a good dad, I think about a good mom, or I think about someone in charge of many people. If they're good and they care, then they will literally lay down their lives at the expense of themselves for the benefit of everybody else. It's like, I'll do whatever it takes to help you to go. I'll do whatever it takes for you to thrive. And even if it means for me to have sacrifice, so be it. This is the same as God. This is the same as the Father heart of God. He literally says, even at my expense, I want you to prosper. So much so that Jesus comes and dies on a cross a couple of thousand years later. But God's heart is that he is for us. And it is, the destiny for our lives would be absolutely incredible. Now, here's the heart of this story, and here's the heart of these scriptures today, is that God says, I want to give you hope. The guys are in exile, they've made huge mistakes, but he says, I'm coming with hope. I'm the God that wants to see good in your life. And he gives us hope, and he gives us hope today. And I want to encourage your heart with hope. But not only does he give us hope, but he gives us restoration. He gives us the promise of restoration, so that even though you've made horrendous mistakes, even though you've made terrible choices, I am the God of hope, but not just to give you good hope, but to fully restore you. Now process this just for a moment. God is so kind, so gracious, so full of love, that even though he knows you'll probably make mistakes in the future, come on, we all will. We'll all make mistakes, whether willingly or unwillingly. God still says, I want to pour my best into you. I want to pour my hope into you. And I want to see you fully restored. And not just restored, but forgiven. And not just forgiven, but set free. And that you would do incredible things. And now we're getting into destiny. And we're getting into the heart of God. The heart of God is that his people, whether they live right or not, but if you are for God, and if you are saved, and if you know God, he says, I still have purpose and calling on your life, and I still have destiny on your life. And if you don't know God today, here's the good news of Christ. Here's the good news of the gospel, that the moment we turn to Christ, everything gets restored. The moment we turn to Jesus, everything gets renewed. Everything gets to start over. We become those brand new Christians, and suddenly destiny activated, reactivated on our lives. And trust me, God's destiny on our lives is beyond measure. It's beyond imagination. It's beyond thinking. It is absolutely incredible. So God is here today. And he's speaking directly into our lives, and he says the same principles that were available to the children of Israel, to the Jews back 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, are available to us today. The question is, what do we do, and who do we turn to, and who do we stay obedient to? We're talking about destiny. Now, the first point we've got to realize is that destiny is in God's hands. It is absolutely in God's hands, but we do have a choice, and we're going to look at that in a moment. Remember, the destiny of God is so wonderful. He wants to see promises activated in your life. He wants to see calling activated in your life. He wants to see you living to your full purpose and full potential. I mean, that will make God happy. Like any good earthly mom or dad, when they see their kids thriving, they're so excited. It's exactly the same with God. And remember this, he has set everything in motion so that it could be like that, but for sin. And we'll talk about that in a moment as well. But God is here today, and he wants to remind you that destiny is in his hands. And if we stay close to God, we will stay close to our destiny. That is so important to remember. Okay, point number one. Destiny is not fate. We've got to remember this. Destiny is not fate. For us to try and get to true destiny, we've got to say what it's not. And it's not fate. Here's what fate's like. Fate's like, well, you know, it's like that movie when the guy meets the girl and girl meets the guy. And it's like, oh, it just feels like this was fate that we met. And in that occasion, it's really good and it's really positive, or at least it can be. But what about in those other moments when it's like, man, I don't know if I really want this thing to happen. But fate says it's going to happen anyway. Fate says that you got no choice. Fate says that you're out of control. Fate says that, look, what's the point? Ever been in a life situation where you said to yourself, you know, this feels pointless? This like, what's the point? I feel in those moments is the moments when we start to feel trapped and we start to get closer to fate and we start to get away from God, because guess what? In God, there is always hope. There is always a way out. There is always someone that we can talk to. There is always something that we can change. And that's why prayer is our most powerful weapon. Here's what James 5:16 says. The prayer of a righteous person, or if you've got an old translation, it will say a righteous man. But of course, God is not for one or the other. He is for both. He died for every single person. He says, and for a righteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You see, here's the problem with fate, is that it can bring you to a place of resignation. It's like, oh man, there's nothing I can do. It can bring you to a place of fatalism. Oh, it's just always going to be like this. But the Bible teaches us that a prayer of a righteous person, a person who's right with God, that's all that means. If you're right with God and you pray to God, your prayers have the power to change things. And we've got to know this. Otherwise, we're going to live in a hopeless situation. We're going to say, well, there's just no way out of this. We do not believe in fate. We believe in Jesus. And Jesus changed everything. Here's what our fate was: death, doom, and destruction. And then Jesus stepped in with his wonderful grace. You see, our faith has been transformed by the life of Jesus. Our lives have been transformed by the life of Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, then Jesus wants to come into your heart today, and he wants to radically transform you and give you a life of destiny, which he has already decided, but you're going to have a part to play in it as well, because he is so gracious and he is so kind. So destiny is not fate. Because fate is fatalism, and fatalism is not biblical. God has come to change things and to turn things around. The enemy loves fatalism, but God comes with fresh hope and with fresh grace. Here's what's attached to destiny. Destiny is attached to free will. See, here's the incredible thing about God. God, in all his wisdom and in all his mercy and in all his love, decided to give us the ability to think. And with that ability, he says, I want to give you the ability to make choices. I want to give you the ability to make choices just like me. And so we can make moralistic choices, and we can make life choices, and we can make decisions every single day. Now, you've probably already worked this out, but the problem with making decisions is that you can make good decisions and bad decisions. And of course, the moment you make a decision, the moment you go down that track, then suddenly you have accountability for the decisions that you've made, and you've got to live with the consequences. I mean, we see this night and day. But again, if you believe in fatalism, then you're like, well, it doesn't really matter what choice I make. It's just all going to be that in the end. No, absolutely not. We do not believe in whatever will be, will be. We believe that when you pray, when you're connected to God, absolutely anything is possible, and he turns the bad around for good, for his glory and for your benefit. That's the goodness of God, and that's the God that we serve. But we have choices to make. But connected to those choices, our responsibility. But isn't it amazing just to pause and think for a moment that in the midst of God's grace and wisdom, and in the midst of our destiny, that we actually have choices to make, that God gives us the blessing and the privilege of those choices? Now, there comes with it, you need wisdom in these choices, and you need to seek God, otherwise you can make bad choices. But can I bring you right to the beginning, Genesis chapter 3, and remind you of the story of Adam and Eve. Genesis 1 tells the story of creation. It says that the earth was without form or void, and then suddenly suddenly the Lord spoke. I mean, get your head around that, that God just spoke and literally things came into being. He is all powerful. He is incredible. There is nothing that he cannot do. This is the God that we serve. And then it goes on and it says about Adam being birthed from the earth. And so Adam comes and now he walks with God and they do incredible things together. And one of my most favorite stories right from the beginning of Genesis is the fact that God walks with Adam and Adam walks with God. And it says, like, just in the cool of the day, they would just chat. They would just talk. I mean, I can't even picture that scene, but it feels incredible. I know that would be incredible. And then day after day, they would just go out and say, and God would speak to Adam. He'd say, God, Adam, what do you think about this animal? What should we call it? What should we name it? And it literally says that Adam named the animals. And God says to Adam, I've got dominion over the heavens, but you've got dominion over the earth. This is your land. This is your place. This is it. And then God turns around and says, wow, I know you've got me, Adam, but I want a partner for you. I want a partner for you. And so from Adam comes Eve. And now here you've got husband and wife. It's this perfect union, husband and wife and God in the center. This is the heart of God for every relationship, every marriage, that he would be at the center of it. And it would be a man and a woman and God right there. And it would be just be incredible. It'd be like heaven on earth. This was his design. Now, I want you to imagine the scene. Here they are. They're in the Garden of Eden. They lack nothing whatsoever. And then it tells us in Genesis 3 that the enemy comes as a crafty snake, a crafty serpent, and he starts to whisper to Eve and he says, wow, you know, this place is amazing, I'm out living, but you know what I mean, he's just kind of talking to her. And then eventually he turns around and he says this to her, and you read it for yourself. He says, would God really not want you to eat from that tree? And so Eve looks for him and she says, what do you mean? And he says, you know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Like, would God really not want you to eat of that tree? Come on, you know God's good and he's gracious and he's provided all things. I mean, surely you've got it wrong. And he sows the seed of doubt from a good place. Now think about this for a moment. The enemy knew that to come and tell a bad thing wouldn't work because they're in paradise. So he came with a good thing, but he added a twist to it. He added disobedience to it. You see, can I tell you that directly connected to your destiny is obedience? The moment we step out of obedience with God, we step into disobedience with God, and we start to walk away from our destiny. We start to walk in our own destiny, and our own destiny, we know where it gets us to because we know the end of the story. Adam sinned, Eve sinned, they ate of the tree, and they fell into disobedience, and now sin enters the world, and it has never been the same until Jesus came on the cross 2,000 years ago, and then everything changed. Everything changed for the better. But can I tell you that the enemy came with a good truth, but it wasn't the whole truth. He came with something good and it deceived Eve. And before they know it, they're questioning the goodness of God, and it leads them out of obedience into disobedience. You see, we've got to get a grasp of this today. We have freedom of choice and we have free will, but we've got to understand the moment that we exercise it with caution, because I want to stay in obedience with God. I never want to get to a place of disobedience, because when I do, I partner with sin, I partner with the enemy, I partner with death, and I'm actively walking away from God. And every single time we walk away from God, and every single time we step into obedience, it has never been good for us. Ask Adam and Eve if you could. I mean, it was terrible. They went from something that was incredible to something that's terrible. Now, let's just pause and think of this just for one moment. The earth and Eden was perfect. It was absolutely perfect to this moment. Now, I know some of us are saying, well, you know, you're talking about destiny and you're talking about free choice, but really we've got no free choice because if you don't do God things, well, what good is it anyway? Well, we're going to dig into this deeper, but can I just really spell it out for us just to encourage your hearts and really bring some sense to our thinking just for a moment? The earth was perfect until we messed it up. The earth was perfect until we made a bad decision. I mean, the earth was perfect until we did something against God. In other words, God knows absolutely what way, how to make things perfect. He's the only one that's perfect. He's the only one that's holy. He's the only one who has no agenda. He's the only one who's fully for you. You're not even fully for you. We self-sabotage all the time, so you can't even trust your own feelings. Sorry to break it to you. I'm sure a few of us already know this. But with God, we can trust him because he's only ever had a good thought, only ever done things for our good, only ever been for our good. He is good all the way through. It was the enemy that lied to us. It was the enemy that came crafty and gave us a good thought that led us to a bad end. But Jesus then came and he turned things around. So come on, let's not get it twisted today. Let's not get confused today. God is for us. And if he is for us, then who can be against us? His ways are the best way. So Genesis 3, everything changed. Remember, before that, the world was perfect, and then suddenly, wow, we messed things up because of our actions. And so we must take responsibility for our actions because our actions are vitally important and we cannot forget it. Okay, point number three, destiny always works with God's sovereignty. See, here's the incredible thing. The sovereignty of God says this, that God is always in control. And you're like, but whoa, step back a minute. You've just said that God's given us freedom of thought, and we can have free will. Absolutely. But here's the wisdom of God. He can hold both. We can only do one. We can only do one, which is like choice. We take choices. We're not in perfect control. In fact, anytime we try to be in control, we mess things up. And so we should give up control to God because he's perfect. He's perfection. Now, in his level, he sees the beginning from the end. He sees it all the way through. He knows every single thing from start to finish. But he also, in his ability, is able to give us choice. And so now we have freedom of choice. And in the midst of that, he can hold both together. It's incredible. And by faith, we can receive this. And by faith, we can know this. But in our own minds, we cannot comprehend this at all. But our wonderful God is fully sovereign. He's fully in control. And yet he gives us freedom of choice and free will. Now, why on earth does he need to be in full control? Because here's the thing. At every moment and at every time, his incredible creation story plan is in motion. It's absolutely in motion. And for God to be perfect, he has to be in control at all times. There could be nothing that can be out of his vision. There could be nothing that's out of his sight. Otherwise, he cannot be perfect. Otherwise, he cannot be in control. And otherwise, he cannot be good all the way through. You see, the goodness of God was that he could send his son Jesus to the cross and Jesus could die past, present, and future sins. Now, you can only do that if you're outside of time and you're outside of everything and you can see all from start to finish. I mean, this is it. He's the beginning and the end. The Bible says he's the Alpha and Omega. He was there before and he'll be there after. He is absolutely incredible. There was no start to him and there'll be no end to him. He is perfect in all his ways and he chooses to love us. He chooses to pour out his best in us. He chooses to give us his destiny and we get to partner with this destiny. So I know we could get lost in the other stuff, but I tell you what, by faith, receive it and get focused on the good stuff, which is the God of the universe, who knows no ends, who knows no limits, chose us, loves us, gives us freedom of choice, and walks with us, and calls us, and gives us incredible destiny. In fact, why would you ever want to go any other way? Because your ways are no good, but his ways are absolutely incredible. So can I tell you this? Jesus is amazing, and God is amazing. And so when we get into this, what you're starting to see, point number four is, obedience is the way of blessing. Obedience is the way of blessing. I mean, I don't know what you thought at the beginning of when we began to chat together, and hopefully we're chatting together. You thought destiny, well, you know, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. But ultimately, you know what destiny is? It's obedience. The way of obedience leads to blessing. Here's what I love about Jesus. He lived the perfect life because he was perfectly obedient to the will of God. And out of that, guess what happened? Guess what happens out of Jesus' life? No one ever achieved more than him. No one ever was more content than him. And no one ever lived a better life than him. Wow. God's ways are the best ways. God's ways are incredible. When we live his ways, we step into abundant blessing. And even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, and even though death's around me, and even though things don't go right, and even though I live in a world full of sin, I will be blessed. And he will bless me in the morning. He will bless me at lunchtime. He will bless me in the evening. He will bless me through the night. You see, obedience is the way of the kingdom. Obedience is the life that Jesus showed us, and obedience is the way of our lives if we want to step into the full destiny that God's got for us. If we want to step into all the fullness, which is beyond what we could possibly imagine or process or think, obedience is the key to unlock it. What's the best way to exercise our freedom? Is to follow God's plan. It brings blessing. That is the best way to exercise our freedom, is to literally follow after God. See, here's the kindness of God. Number one, if you're obedient to Him, His blessings are incredible. But number two, when you're not obedient and you actually are disobedient to God, imagine, I mean, I used to be disobedient all the time. Ask my mom, she probably says I'm still disobedient. I used to run away, used to like threaten her when she's threatening me, and she's like, I'm going to smack you, and I'm like, you do whatever you want. You know, it's just like, I was trying to fly in the face of obedience because I wanted to rebel. This is what man has done since the garden. We want to rebel against the goodness of God because we think to ourselves, you know what, I can do better. My way is better. But ultimately, God's way is the best way. And here's the kindness of God. Even when we're disobedient, He still stays patient with us. Ever find that? It's like you're living your own life, you're going your own ways, you're doing your thing, and yet He's still patient with us. If you listened a couple of weeks' time when I was talking about Jonah, how much more patience can you get than God when it comes to Jonah? I mean, look at your life and be God just for a moment, just for a second. How patient has God been with you? You don't pray much. You don't read much. You don't talk that good. You say loads of bad words sometimes. You know what I mean? You got road rage. You think bad things. You have evil thoughts. I mean, and yet God is so patient. Come on, that was just me. but what about you? I mean, it's incredible. God is so patient with us that even in disobedience, He's so patient. And what's He patient with? His love, His destiny, His purpose, His calling, His timing, because He's always looking to see His people restored. He's an incredible, incredible God. You see, destiny is all about decisions that we make, not what God does. Don't flip it on to God. God is a good God. He's never been anything but good. Flick the mirror on ourselves and look at ourselves and ask big questions and go, what way am I living for God? Come on, I'm talking about Christians right now. But if you're not a Christian, what way am I living my life? Am I here for myself or for somebody else? Am I trying to be good towards other people? Here's the bottom line, what I find. You cannot be good at all in your own strength. In fact, the Bible teaches us that the only person that was ever good was Jesus. Because good is a loaded term. It's a loaded word. And we are selfish people outside of Christ. And even in Christ, we need His strength. We need His grace. Otherwise, we start to live selfishly again. But God is so patient. Here's what I want us to think back. Good memories. If you're saved today, think back to the good memories. Think back to the way you begun. You realized your need of Christ. You realized that outside of Him, you were nothing. You realized that if you don't turn your life to Him, life is not going to work out for you. And you realized that you are in sin, and without Jesus, you're going to go to a lost eternity. Wow, what a moment that was. I think back to those moments. I was like, Lord, my goodness, You are so amazing. I can't believe that You want me. I can't believe that You died for me. I can't believe that You chose me. Remember what the hymn writer said, that You would die for a wretch like me? I mean, I was a wretch. You are a wretch if you're outside of Christ. But here's the greatness of God, is that His Son came, died for you, took His place for you. He took the place for you, and He died in your place. And now your sin has been forgiven because He took on your sin, and He died, and yet He rose again victorious on the third day. And Jesus is here today, and He whispers, or He shouts loudly, or He does whatever He needs, but He's trying to get your attention. He says, come to me, and I will transform your life. But think back if you're a Christian. Think back to those early days, that first love, that time when you just recognized your need of God. And say to yourself today, man, if I'm going to really live out the destiny of God, I've got to get over me, and I've got to let Him shine through. That's what needs to happen in our lives. I'm sorry to break it to you, but that's what needs to happen. Something needs to take place where we will literally decrease and He will fill us and He will overflow us so that we can live out the destiny that we're called to, the destiny that will be beyond our wildest dreams, that will satisfy us in ways that you couldn't believe. Remember, Jesus lived the fullest life, the best life, the most complete life, the most content life. I want to be like Jesus. He obeyed every word the Father said. He stayed in perfect obedience. Obedience is not a cool term. It's not a 21st century term. It's not one that everybody's clamoring to. It's not one that everybody loves. But obedience is the best way to live because it's proven it will get you the best results, the blessings of God. I want the blessings of God because I know I'm going to walk through some difficult times. I need the blessings of God in my life. I've been there. What about you? You need the blessings of God on your life. Obedience unlocks them. My way is no good. I want to follow Jesus and His plan. That's the reality of what we say. John 14:6 is what happened to us when we came to Christ. You are the way, Jesus. Jesus says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me, to the Father, except through me. It's exactly the same when it comes to our destiny. He's the way, He's the truth, He's the life. Lord, I give up my truth. I give up my way. I give up to follow only You.
Because you're my life.
I literally give up my life because you're the only one for me. Jesus, I give you everything. So what is the key to our destiny? It is Jesus. And so how should we live today? Give me a few more moments and then we're going to be done. How should we live today? Well, let me break it to you. Trust, number one, is trust. You got to trust God. You've got to trust God that He is good and He's always good and He's always got your best intentions at heart. You've got to trust that. Can I tell you that you've actually got to distrust yourself to get to trust Him? Can I tell you that you really shouldn't trust anybody else bar God because everybody else is going to break your trust? Does that mean that you shouldn't think people are good and you shouldn't have, you know, you're a good person, you're a kind person, and my mom and dad, and they're good and everything? Absolutely, they're fine. But they're all going to break your trust at some point because each one of us all have mistakes. Each one of us are all open to imperfections. God is the only one that we can truly trust. And I'm calling you today to live out your full destiny is to put your full trust in Him at the expense of just trusting yourself. It's okay. It's going to be fine because He is absolutely wonderful. And we've said already, second key is obedience. Go God's way, not your own. Here's the lie, and I think it's a lie, and it's been a lie for a long time, and it was a lie in my life. If I'm going to live the best life, then it's going to be my way, and it's going to be me doing it. That's it. That's the lie of our generation. That's the lie of this world. It's like there's no one else that you should trust your life to because nobody else knows you like you. In fact, we say it like this. You should just do you. You should just do you. Can I tell you, when we were just doing us from Genesis 3, we've been messing this whole thing up. We had paradise. We had perfection. There was only one tree not to eat from, and that was the one of knowledge of good and evil. Why? Because God says, I don't want you to live like that. I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me and that I can be the one that guides you in these things. Because you see, when you're trying to hold the weight of what's good and what's evil, it's impossible. Only God can do that. And why did God banish us from the garden in that moment? Because here was his fear. And God's not fearful, but he knows the realities of what's going on in our lives. He said, hey, if my people who now know the rights and wrongs and now will find it difficult to process ever eat from the tree that will cause them to live forever, how will I ever redeem them? So I'll banish them from the garden. Embarrassing, because the only one that can be judge, jury, the only one is God. The only one that can stand in the middle. The only one that can be true justice. The only one that can be true hope. The only one that can know true right and wrong is God, because his motives are always absolutely pure. And so today we turn to him. Genesis 3 tells us we can't even trust ourselves, but we can trust God because he is good all the way through. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1, 4 to 5 says, the word of God came to me saying, and this is how we know, before I formed you in the womb, I knew. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. This is the goodness of God. The prophet Jeremiah got it. He got a revelation from God. He says, before I formed you in the womb, oh my goodness, God's known us before we ever formed. He knows a lot about us. Before you were born, I set you apart. Wow, he's already been setting me apart as unique and different from before, day zero. He's an incredible God. And I've appointed you, I've assigned you, I've tasked you to be a prophet to the nations. This is the goodness of God's destiny. Could we ever possibly imagine that we would be people that would affect nations? Come on, I'd say to God, come on, be real. You know, half the time we wonder if we're even good enough to look after one person or even worth living or even worth being around. I mean, suicide is through the roof because so many people just feel like their life's not worth living. It's just mad. It's incredible because this is what sin does. But God says, through Jeremiah, before you were ever conceived, before you were ever born, I knew you, I formed you, I had great plans for you, and I appointed you to the nations. He has dreams for us that we cannot even process outside of his strength. God is so good. Here's what David said, Psalm 139:16. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me are written in your book before one of them came to be. David said this, God, I know that you have been thinking about me way before time began. You have great plans for my life. So here's what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to follow after you. I'm going to give my whole heart to you. And at the end, what do we read in the New Testament? There was no man like David in the terms of he gave his whole heart to God. That's the way that we need to live. Here's the warning. Every time we don't walk in obedience, we are automatically saying, this is my life, this is my destiny, and I don't care if I disobey you, God. Every single time that we don't walk in obedience, That's the way we're living. So my question is, are we living in obedience to God or someone or something else? Every single time that we live outside of God obedience, we're literally in disobedience and we're going our own way, saying, I can do it better. I've got this thing cracked. I know what I'm doing. Lord, I can trust myself. I cannot. I can only trust Him, and my destiny is only found in Him. Final point today. How do you find your destiny? Come on, let's look at it just for a few moments and then we're done. How do you find your destiny? Because destiny is absolutely incredible. Well, number one, it's not about some magical word or dream. Now, that could be connected, but you know the way we think sometimes, Disney, we think fairy tale, we think of a wonderful, I mean, I don't know, but you know, like maybe potentially if you were a girl years ago, you thought you're going to meet a prince, it was going to be amazing. If you were a boy, you thought, well, years ago, I'm going to become a footballer and this is my destiny, or I'm going to be this, or I'm going to be that, I'm going to have loads of money, loads of cars, loads of whatever, and that's going to be my dream. And that's going to be my destiny. Here's what I find. It's probably a bit more complicated than that, and it's actually way better than that. Number one, it's not about a magical word or dream, so we should wipe that out. That's why a fortune teller is going to be no good to you. They're no good at all, but they're not going to give you what you want, but your heart is yearning for something. It's yearning for destiny, and it can only be found in God. Everything else is disobedience. Everything else is out against God. Everything else is not for God. Number two, it's bigger than your needs and your comforts. You've got to understand, if you're going to step into your destiny, it's bigger than your needs, and it's bigger than your comforts. So in other words, you're going to have to leave your comfort zone. You're going to have some needs go unmet for a season, because God's going to bring you into destiny that is so big and so great, it's going to step you out of your needs and your destiny, or your comfort, and you're going to get uncomfortable for a season. You're going to get uncomfortable, but it's going to be okay because God is with you. And number three, it's going to be so big. Your destiny is going to be so big. The only way to accomplish it is you and God. You and Him. That's the only way. That is the absolute only way. And so I don't know what you thought about destiny before, but can we realign ourselves to the Word today and say, hey, it's about obedience and disobedience. It's about accountability for our actions. And it's these three things. It's not about some magical word. It's about getting away from our needs and our comforts. And it's about recognizing that the destiny that God has on our lives can only happen when we're with a big God, because it is so big. So here's the key to our destiny. Obedience. We said again, we need God's grace. I cannot live in God's destiny without His obedience and without His grace. I just can't do it. Number two, surrender. Surrender is the best way to live. If obedience is the action steps we're going to take, surrender is the way we're going to live. Surrender. I give up my rights, God. This is not about me. I give up my rights. Hands up. It's all over for me. I'm giving my rights up to You, because Your way is way better. Amen. And lastly, number three, death. This is it. If you're going to go for destiny, you got to go for another D, which is death. Why? Because I need resurrection power. And the only way to get resurrection power is that a death must take place. When Jesus went to the cross, guess what happened? He died, and then He was fully resurrected 3 days later. And He conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered shame. He conquered every negative, sinful thing in my life once and for all. And the price was paid in full. It was absolutely incredible, because He laid down His life. And then 3 days later, He rose from the dead with resurrection power. And I need resurrection power, and you need resurrection power. If you're going to go after the destiny that God has assigned for you and the destiny that you are part of, then you need resurrection power. But the only way to get it, I'm sorry to break it to you, I'm sorry to tell you, is death. But not physical death. No, but that spiritual one, that self-death, that one that says it's the end of me and it's the start of Him. I need Him to live through me. Here's what Luke 9:23 says. He said to them all, Jesus speaking, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Here's the way of Jesus. If you're going to come to Him, it says your desire has to be to come after me. Desire is possibly one of the strongest feelings that you can have. Desire will get you off your deathbed. Desire will get you up in the morning. Desire will keep you going forward when everything else inside of you wants to quit. Desire is incredible. It's one of those things that just drives you forward. If anyone desires, if anyone who's just desperately seeking to come after me, here's what you've got to do. You've got to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself, death to self. Take up your cross, reminding yourself of death, because what Jesus did, He took His cross and He went to the grave and then He rose victorious. God has sent us today for us to fulfill our destiny, for us to fulfill after and come after all the things that God has got for us. It's got to be death to self. Wow, this is tough. This is hard. But in God's strength, you can do it, and the Holy Spirit will enable you. And guess what happens? You get set free. You can no longer be offended the same way. You're no longer emotional the same way. You're no longer upset the same way. You're no longer like, wow, I can't believe this happened to me. You're no longer me anymore. It's all about Him. And watch what He does. And this is the incredible reality of our faith and incredible good news as Christians. He doesn't leave you dead, but He resurrects you with His power. And now you start to live in His strength. And you start to live through Him. And it is absolutely amazing. Absolutely incredible. And I'm urging you today, and I'm appealing to you today, that if you are not for Christ and not with Christ, it's time to make a change. And if you are, I'm telling you, you got to lay down your life every single day to follow Him. You got to take up your cross, deny yourself, and watch how you're going to step into your destiny. Hey, I haven't lived all my life yet, but I tell you this, the most successful thing that I've done that's led me to the most success in my life is when I've surrendered, been obedient, and give up my life for His. It was the most scary thing, still is the most scary thing, most uncertain thing, most uncontrollable thing you can ever imagine, because you're literally placing your whole life into God and you're saying, not my dreams, but yours, God. Not my way, but your way. Not my thoughts, but yours. God, at the expense of my feelings, at the expense of my emotions, at the expense of all those things, and I give them all up to You. But here's what I find. I place them into someone else's hands, far better, far loving, far more caring than mine. He loves me far more than I love myself. It's absolutely amazing. So when you give up your life, guess what? You're actually going to find your life in a way that you could never possibly find it outside of God, because He knows you before you were ever thought of, before you were ever imagined, before you were ever a twinkle in your mom's eye. He knew you. And guess what David said, like we read earlier, 139? He has books full of the dreams and plans and destinies for your life. Guys, come on. Today is the time to turn back to God in all our ways and to say, God, I'm following Your way and no other way, and I'm going to death to self. I'm death to selfie, death to self, death to everything in me, so that Your resurrection life can come through me from now and forever. Amen. Verse 13, we read it right at the beginning. Jeremiah 29:11 is the one that we know so well, but let me give you the secret to the success right in the middle of those verses that we read. Verse 13. You will seek Me and find Me when you seek Me with all your heart. If you want your destiny, it's seeking God. If you want your destiny, it's obedience to God. If you want your destiny, it's surrender to God. If you want your destiny, it is literally death to self. And watch how suddenly resurrection life flows through you, and you will never be the same again. Amen. We're going to pray today. Guys, if you don't know Jesus, today is the day for you. Come on. This is the day to make a decision. I believe right now that the Holy Spirit is already convicting you. It's a biblical word. It just simply says you're already starting to feel bad. You're starting to feel your shame. You're starting to feel your emotions right now. That's a God thing. Don't run away from it. But turn your life to God and simply say, God, I need You, and I need You in my heart right now. That's what we're going to pray. And then in a moment after that, we're going to pray for ourselves as Christians. Wherever you find yourself on the journey, where are you on your journey of destiny? Can I urge you to take up your cross again, to die to self, and just to say, Jesus, all for You. You're all I seek. You're all I want. You're all that I am after. And we're going to pray it together. So Lord, I thank You for everybody that's watching today. I thank You for everybody that's listening. Lord, I thank You for the wonderful things that You're doing. And I pray for those that are far from You or those that don't know You. Today is a great day to come to Jesus. I pray right now, Jesus, that You would convict us of our sins. Let us know that we're not right with You. And then in this moment, let us be brave and bold to confess that to You and say, Jesus, I need Your help. Jesus, would You come into my life? And He absolutely will. As we recognize Him as Savior, as we recognize Him as Lord of our lives, and we give Him our lives, He will bring our lives alive, and He will transform us. Jesus, I thank You right now for those that need You. I thank You right now for those that are far from You and they're saying yes to You. Right now, Jesus, would You move on their lives in Your precious name? Hallelujah. Amen. And Lord, I pray today for those that are Christians and are saying to ourselves, hey, I want to go further for God. I need more of Him. I want His destiny to be my destiny. You know what? I think I got waylaid on something else. I think I thought about something else. I think I was in dreamland when it came to my destiny. But ultimately, I want to be obedient to You. I want to surrender to You. And I want to lay down my life to You, just like You did on the cross for me. So Jesus, I pray today for us as Christians that we would seek You with our whole hearts. Because when we do that, we will find You. And we will find our destiny. And we'll become become part of that bigger story that you've already got in motion. Lord, we are blessed because of you, and we will be blessed as we follow after you. Jesus, we love you. Anoint us and bless us. Holy Spirit, would you just touch our hearts afresh today, wherever we find ourselves. If we need encouragement, give it to us. If we're in a state of loss, fill us up, Lord. And if we need fresh hope, give us that fresh hope. Lord, we are here for you, and I know that you're here for us. In your precious, beautiful name, amen. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. Remember, as always, if you need any help, send us an email, prayer@vibeni.com. Send us a private message. If you're local, come and see us. We would love to be a blessing to you. We're so glad that you could tune in, and we would encourage you to share the message. Go tell somebody about it. Here's the point of everything that we share. Here's the point of everything that we do, that something would catch a flame in your heart. Something would start to blaze in your heart, and then you go share it in your own words. Go take the story of today. Go take Jeremiah. Go and take whatever you've learned today and go and share it with somebody else, and watch how it has the power to transform people's lives, and go and be a hope dealer, go and be a person of grace, go and be a person that shows love, because that's what God's created you to be. You're a person of destiny. You're a person that's here to do significant things. Thank you so much, and enjoy our last song of worship, and we will see you next time.